Cousin Cameron, you best go finish getting the firewood quick. Looks like a storm's rolling in, and fast.
Okay, I will go and do that, Uncle Kai. Perhaps you could begin preparing the barley gruel so that we may feast.
Mmm, I'm a-hungering.
Yup.
Boy, sure is getting windy out here. I hope I don't fly away in the wind and become lost and never found again, launched above the treetops, nary to return. I better rush back into the safety of our cozy little frontier-style hovel in the middle of the wilderness.
Oh, good. You're back. The gruel's almost finished.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum.
Gee, Uncle Kai, I haven't ever seen a tempest quite so tempestuous. Wonder what's causing it.
I reckon I don't rightly know, Cousin Cam. Let's scuttle over to yonder window and see what this is all about.
Golly, what is that?
Gee willikers, is that some sort of bird or a different bird?
No, that there's a thunderbird.
Well, shoot. That seems like just about as good a subject as any for the next edition of our almanac. Cousin Cameron, grab the old-timey pencil and a piece of old-timey paper. Let's get a writing and a publishing.
Edition 49 shall thus commence.
Monster Crazy.
Welcome to Monster Crazy episode 49.
The Monster Crazy Almanac edition 49. We're not a podcast anymore. From now on, we're a printed publication.
Yep. And we have rivalries with other printed almanacs from the same era.
Mm-hmm.
Against great thinkers of our time.
Ben Franklin can suck my dick.
Mm-hmm. I was actually also thinking of Ben Franklin.
Yeah, he needs to be taken down a peg.
He does, and we're just the guys.
Check your hairline, fool.
Mm-hmm. You're not even on a bill yet if this is old-timey stuff. We're on Monster Coins, which everyone uses.
That's right, because we're minting soon. It's a new crypto adventure that we're getting into, and we're actually also going to be minting about 150 NFTs that if you'd like to get your hands on, now's the time. It's better than ever time to get into the crypto market.
It is.
So buy into Monster Coin and Monster NFT.
Yeah, totally. Today we're talking about not NFTs, a different thing that's equally monstrous.
Mm-hmm. A nice flying titan.
And also a god, kind of.
Yeah.
The Thunderbird.
What's interesting about this, which I guess is probably more common than I at first thought about, which I've started to realize when we've just covered cryptids on here, but this is something that this is a monster that straddles both folklore and cryptid categories. I never really thought about it that much, but they really, quote-unquote, cryptozoologists, because let's be real, that you got to put quotes around cryptozoologists.
Yeah, you do.
They love taking Native American stuff and saying that it's a cryptid, which I never thought about that much before.
That'd
but
be kind of
no
funny.
Exception.
That's like if Jesus was a cryptid.
Yeah.
Like you take.
Well, he is to me.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, I forget what it might be. No, I forget what, but there's a thing where it's like Cain is Bigfoot because Cain was like marked and doomed to wander the earth or whatever. So, God,
that's
what?
I love that theory.
Is that Mormonism or something? I can't even remember. Cain as Bigfoot. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Mormon thing. Pretty crazy.
I like it. And it's also true, which is another thing I like
about it. It's also completely true. Yeah. But yeah, that's the cool version of learning about a Native American myth and saying, actually, that's a pterodactyl.
Totally. It's cool. So a physical description of it is it's a giant, like, bird of prey, like an eagle or a hawk.
Big-ass bird.
Mm-hmm. With
big bird
wingspans as long as I think the sightings vary, but in some sightings the wingspan is as long as two war canoes.
Yeah, I don't know how big a war canoe is.
I actually should have looked that up before I just said that. Probably pretty big. Well,
I would imagine it'd be bigger than a normal canoe, but maybe it's smaller to be stealthy and slip through defenses.
I don't think
so. Maybe it's only
it's
10
big.
Inches long. I read, and this is, I read this on a website, then the source of this is attributed to George M. Eberhardt's seminal Mysterious Creatures, A Guide to Cryptozoology. So we know this is completely accurate information that's based on real sightings. He said that the wingspan of a thunderbird can be as much as 70 feet.
That's actually what I'm seeing from the war canoe thing. The war canoes are up to 24 meters.
Whoa.
They also,
that's a long-ass canoe.
Dude, they look really cool.
I want to look that up.
Yeah, they're like 8 feet wide. And they don't just look like a normal canoe. They have like a tall like thing at the front. They look really sick.
Oh my God, that is sick.
Yeah, that's really fucking cool. I wouldn't call that a canoe. Like, I mean, I'm sure it technically is. But like, if I saw that, I would call that like a North American warship. Very cool. Wow.
But the point is that they can be really big, but also they can be, you know, in some, well, that's the thing. It's weird to split. I mean, I feel like you kind of have to split it a little bit into cryptid and folklore, cause they're pretty different in things, even though they're technically the same thing. They're clearly mean different things and kind of are different things in the way that they're talked about. But they could also be pretty small. Like, they're also, you know, there's reports where it's like, oh, I saw a thunderbird and his wingspan was like 10 feet. And it's like, well, that's, birds can be that big. That's a big ass bird, but birds can be that big. But then it's also like, oh, they can also be 70 feet across.
Well, I mean, there's also like, they also can be 0 feet and infinity feet at once because they, in like some depictions of them, they're not really like a physical being. They're like a representation of something. Like they're an energy, and they are seen as birds in like visions or dreams.
And
That's like the more folklore one where they're just sort of a deity at that point.
Yeah, totally. Something else that's interesting that I didn't know at all. I like kind of vaguely knew about thunderbirds a little bit before doing any research on this, but something I didn't realize is that how different Native American cultures all kind of have different, the thunderbird is in different roles. Like it's not like there's one agreed upon, like, oh, this is the thunderbird type of thing. Like a thunderbird means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And it's kind of just like, yeah, it's almost like it's like a trope or a symbol that keeps appearing that appears in different ways in different myths.
I mean, it also appears across like the entire span of North America, which is very cool. And also other,
they
countries,
also
kind
big
of.
Bird. Yeah. Other places also have been, like the rock in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Very similar, not storm related. And also I don't know much about the rock, but I'm pretty sure the rock is basically just like a dragon-sized bird, and that's its main thing. And the thunderbird, I think, has—I don't know. Actually, I'm not going to speak on the rock. I don't know enough about it to really speak on it. But
yeah, I don't know that much about the rock either, besides like reading it about it in like an encyclopedia of mythological creatures as a kid and being like, "Whoa,
it's very cool."
So cool. I love every picture of the rock. Has it like holding a whale in its claws or like an elephant or something.
It's
that's
funny you
so
say
my shit. It's
that's
so
very
awesome.
Cool. And also funny you should say that, because the thunderbird, in one of the legends, is its favorite food is orcas.
Yeah.
And it also, one of the explanations for why there are like big flat areas that are treeless are that it basically a thunderbird got into a fight with a like the king orca, I guess, like Kyogre pretty much, and in that epic battle it just like leveled a lot of the terrain and made it treeless.
Yeah, that's so sick. Orca as a favorite prey is so tight. They know what they're doing. That's so cool. Like that's cooler than sharks.
Oh, way cooler. I mean I think orcas
that's
are
the
scary.
Coolest possible thing. Yeah,
they're scarier than sharks.
I don't know if I agree with that, but they're a cooler of a thing to prey on.
Yeah, totally.
I would be. I'm really scared of sharks, though. Oh,
I'm scared of orcas because I don't like the idea that that it's smart.
Yeah,
and
I don't mind it being smart because that means I can reason with it.
Kevin, you're in the water and there's an orca starting to fuck with you, and you cross your arms and put up one of your fingers and go, "Wow."
I think we can turn this into a mutually beneficial agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, there's really something about a giant bird eating, like, I still have, like, Moby Dick on the brain from reading it recently, and I'm still obsessed with it, and it is just completely true, I think, that whales are, like, they're such an insane, like, supernatural, incredible animal that it's like, okay, this is literally the biggest thing that has ever lived. You can't get, like, until for a certain point in human history, you can't get them. Like, they could never be gotten until we invented some technology, like, and tools and shit. And the idea of, like, okay, this is, like, the biggest animal, and it's elusive, and it lives out there, and it's crazy and magical, and it's but also there's a big-ass bird that can get it is so crazy.
That's very sick.
Like, they have in Destroy All Monsters, too, they have Rodan eating dolphins. Like, they farm dolphins for him on Monster Island. And he, like, swoops down and picks up the dolphins, and that shit is always so cool. Just anything with a giant bird that's picking up, that's treating a bit, like, a thing
a
that should be, like the whale, a whale or a dolphin or whatever, like, they're mammals, so we're like, oh, these are, like,
the us
bigger
of the
and better than fish, yeah. These are, like, these are superior to fish in some way, because we relate to them more.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then being like, well, also, there's also a version of a bird that's like a fish is to a whale as a bird is to this really big bird that
yeah.
can get to the whale, you know?
It's I think just, the idea so cool. of a really big bird is kind of scary in the same way that an idea of a really, really big aquatic thing is scary, where it's a big creature that's out of our, like, where it's out of our element.
It's off of our axis.
Yeah, it's off of our axis. And so, like, we just are so unequipped, like, we just can't go up the same way that
yeah.
they can. So it's like, it just has a whole... it's like, you know, it has a whole other dimension against us.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of freaky. To be honest, though, like, I know that some people, like, birds are a somewhat common animal that, like, unsettles people. Like, some people mm-hmm. just find birds weird and unsettling, which I do understand, but I have always really liked birds. So I think if I saw a giant bird, I would think, wow, that's really cool, more than, wow, I'm really afraid, unless it was swooping at me.
Yeah.
But
I think I agree. I'm not really that unsettled or scared by birds. I think that to me, I 100%. I feel like a giant bird makes so much sense that it's similar to how when we were talking about like Ouroboros and stuff. Like I think it just makes sense to me that that is something that a bunch of cultures across the world would attach some kind of crazy symbolic meaning to, because it's like something that's in the sky and is that big, like. The sun is in the sky, the moon is in the sky, the stars are in the sky, and this thing is big enough, you can fly past and block them out. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, it just makes sense. It's like, oh, of course this is some kind of spiritual thing. If you saw a bird that big, it would be a religious experience.
Totally.
Period. Yeah.
I mean, I'm bringing up another point that is completely conjecture, that probably a smart scientist working in the labs of history would be able to debunk. But I was looking up, like, big birds in evolution, big birds that have mm-hmm. existed as real animals that we found remnants of. And there's one that is not that long ago called the Teratorn. And mm-hmm. they lived in North America. And they died out at the end of the Pleistocene era, which they theoretically were alive like 10,000 years ago in North America, and people are said to have been in North America as early as 13,000 years ago. So there's a chance that there's a basically like giant condor. Well, not even a chance. If both of those numbers are right, you know, these giant birds and regular people, you know, coexisted. And to be honest, Territorns are not actually that much bigger than the big birds we already have. But I don't know. 12 foot wingspan is that's two
like
of
you
me.
Go up to like 18 feet. Too.
Yeah, that's insane. And that thing could blot out the fucking sun.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's also I think the biggest currently living bird is the albatross, and I think that's a 12 foot wingspan. And I feel like that's not some. That's also not something you really see.
Is there not a South American condor that has a? How big is the wingspan? I know there's a South American condor that has a huge wingspan.
What I read, and this could be wrong because I just read this on some website, but in North America, the biggest bird is a California condor, which is 10 feet wingspan. And then it said the largest bird in the world is the wandering albatross, which had a 12-foot wingspan.
Okay, shit. Well, okay, but bird of prey style, the Andean condor has a 10-foot wingspan also, which is, I guess this may be the same as the California one, but like, that's a...
you know what I just Googled it and found out is that actually even you have to consider... we're talking about flying birds because ostriches, I think, are bigger. I just looked it up. And the ostrich is actually bird in the world.
Biggest bird, but do they have the biggest wingspan?
No, but that's what I mean. Like, yeah. we should specify that we mean flying birds by wingspan. But ostriches are tall and heavy.
Yeah. Another thing that I was just thinking, sorry, one sec. You know how I was saying that I think birds are charming and not actually, I'm not afraid of them, really?
Uh-huh.
You know how in our Jormungandr episode, we were talking about essentially like pattern recognition that came out of recognizing sticks from snakes.
Yeah.
I feel like even the Territorn, you know, with its big ass fucking wingspan. I mean, so if an Andean condor weighs 33 pounds with a 10 foot wingspan, this Territorn probably wasn't much more than like 60 pounds, which is insane for a bird. Like, that's wild. But
yeah,
they probably, like, in all of human history, there haven't been enough instances of a big bird flying off with people for it to like imprint on us evolutionarily.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure some people have been swooped. But like,
I think it happened. Yeah. I think that's something that maybe even like, kind of fell by the wayside. Like, we're really not that scared of birds collectively. And maybe it's a thing where it's like, maybe it's because you like snakes and shit and caves and whatever. It's like, oh, a cave bear or a viper is going to kill even like an adult who is at their peak. Whereas if you're a grown adult and you're physically fit, you're probably not getting carried off by a bird. Like, that's something that happens to an infant.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a motherly instinct thing, but I think you're right. Yeah. It would seem that way at least.
And I do think that probably in all of human history, some toddlers have met incredibly unfortunate premature ends to big birds. But I think that just like not enough for it to be like a thing, you know?
Yeah. I also think that it doesn't really, I think, and this is maybe more of like a kind of hand wavy new agey whatever type thing, but I also don't think it's really part of our journey, like evolutionarily. Like, I think we're so fucked up by snakes and bugs and caves because we like graduated from them. Like, I feel like we graduated from bugs and snakes and caves in the way that, like, you know, we were monkeys and we lived in trees, and we came down from trees I feel like snakes are a part of us changing because we came down from trees and we're like, oh fuck, there are snakes on the ground. And bugs are in the way of like, we used to eat bugs off of branches and do chimpanzee shit and fish for termites or whatever, you know? And then we're like, we're not going to do this anymore. We're moving on to bigger stuff. And then caves, it's like, you know, we used to Like, I don't even know what I'm saying, I guess. Maybe caves aren't even a part of it. But I do feel like birds, like we had to adapt to snakes and to bugs in a way that maybe we didn't to birds.
I think birds and us have never, I mean, I guess we're in conflict with birds in the sense that we eat a lot of them. But, like, we've never really needed to worry about birds, I don't think.
Yeah, they've never really been like, I feel like we kind of just have been sharing space, and not even that much do we share space.
Yeah, and because they like the water or the sky, and they also like are typically not like disease vectors. Like, I mean, every once in a while they are, but for the most part, they're not like known as like disease carriers. They don't have poison. They are kind of doing their own shit, eating mice and rabbits at the most, and we're kind of doing our own shit. Also eating some rabbits and occasionally eating birds.
Yeah.
So like,
and mice.
And mice. I mean, I'm out here eating mice. I go to Petco like once
a
week.
I get the frozen mice.
Yeah, I don't get the frozen ones. but yeah, so I think we've kind of coexisted with them essentially in a way where it's like we've never really had much of a reason to actively fear them, even though they are like,
yeah,
they can be fierce creatures.
Yeah. I think just in terms of an overarching spiritual journey of our existence for as long as humans have existed and before they've existed, in terms of our relationships with animals, there are a lot of animals that I think we have really strong relationships with in one way or another. Like, we clearly really got something going on with dogs. You know, and also, yeah, like, the, you know, that our snakes are also clearly our enemy. But I feel like with birds, it's kind of just like, oh, they're like birds. I don't know.
Well, there is like one. We have one very strong relationship with them that I think is part of our journey. Mostly in the past, you know, 120 years or something. And that's that we've pointed at them and be like, wait, they can do the one thing we can't do that looks so fucking fun.
That's true.
So, like, that we have flight envy.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Yeah, I guess I mean, like, yeah, like material relationships, I feel like we haven't had that much aside from just, yeah, food. But I think that that's why that's literally why they're such spiritual animals and why there's so much about a giant bird in mythology is literally because we don't interact with them that much. So I think they're like not mundane.
No.
Or at least big birds aren't. I'm sure that, you know, we see a trillion
chickens.
I mean, I
and
see
pigeons.
A trillion pigeons and sparrows and whatever, and I don't really care. But that's nowadays. You know, but yeah, it's like, oh my God, that's a thing that can do the thing that we could never do in a million years. Like, we look at a fish and it's like, well, we could swim, you know. Or we look at a thing climbing, it's like, well, we can climb. But we literally, at least back in the day, we literally could not fly, period.
I mean, and even now, when we fly, we have to go really fast in order to do it. Like, we can't fly in the same sense. Like,
yeah.
Like, they can, like, truly, like, I don't know. I'm not saying planes aren't flying, but, like, it's just, like, they get to be masters of it.
Are an affront to nature, though, and someday they'll all be, nature's gonna strike back, and the Thunderbird's gonna come and blow up all our planes.
That could happen, because another thing about the Thunderbird that we haven't mentioned yet is it is frequently depicted as acting as sort of a moral judge. So the Thunderbird, I guess this is an important thing to talk about. The Thunderbird is not like an inherently antagonistic figure in Native American culture, and also not a purely good figure. It is like sort of a representation of you know, untethered nature. So it...
Mm-hmm.
It's morally neutral as far as humans are concerned, but it has, or I don't even know if it's morally neutral, maybe it's morally good, but it has its own moral compass and it doles out judgment in the form of lightning. But it's been said to help tribes who are in need, and like some of the East Coast tribes, like their totem poles have depictions of the Thunderbird kind of at the top of the totem, I don't know if it's technically worship, but like, you know, a tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like these mystical deliverers of help or of pain, depending on what you do.
Yeah. And they seem to, like, in a lot of different myths, they fight, like in, Algonquin mythology, they fight underworld creatures. Mm-hmm. They shoot lightning at them.
Also, a cool design thing about the lightning is the lightning is their snake. They have snakes. Lightning snakes. And the streaks of lightning are its snakes that it's, like, letting down from its wings.
Whoa, I didn't even see that. That's sick.
And some of the depictions of the snakes are that the snakes have, like, dog-like heads. It's very cool.
That is super cool. Damn. Wow, that's awesome. I want to see a picture of that. But then also, the Ojibwe Thunderbird myth says that they are created to fight underwater spirits by a mythological figure called, I'm sorry, I'm definitely going to mispronounce this, Nana Bozho, Nanabozho, who is like a trickster mythological figure. And I was reading a little bit.
Thor versus Loki. Thor versus Loki. God of Thunder Loki. Versus the trickster.
Well, the Thunderbirds were created by the trickster.
Oh, okay.
In this. They didn't versus each other. But just there was a legend about Nana Bozho fighting Paul Bunyan and ripping his beard off.
Oh, damn.
Which is pretty awesome. Very cool. And they said that that Nana Bozho, like, ripped off Paul Bunyan's beard, and then Paul Bunyan flew backward and landed on the ground, and his butt made a lake.
Damn, Paul Bunyan, you big oaf.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I just wanted to bring that up, even though it's, like, barely tangentially related.
I like it.
Yeah. I guess in terms of mythology, like, I think that especially knowing that there are so many different versions of the myth in so many different cultures, I don't think that we can really even hope to fully define or explain what it means mythologically, or how many different cultures have how many different stories about it. But I feel like we did a pretty good job of, you know, covering the basics of what it is, mm-hmm. Folklorically. And maybe we can talk about the cryptid side of things a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a bunch of sightings of it. Now, I only have a few, like, sightings written down. I didn't find all that many. But the first one that I saw is from 1948. Do you have any before that?
No. I mean, there have been sightings that aren't documented for a very, very long time.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, I guess the line to draw is, like, sightings of people who believe that it is a deity appearing to them or something versus someone who's like, I saw a big bird, wonder what it was, type thing.
Yeah, totally.
And I think we're transitioning into the wow, it's a cryptoid of it here. So in 1948, April 4th, a guy named Walter F. Siegmund, who was a colonel in the army, he was talking to a farmer in Alton, Illinois. There's a bunch in Illinois, a bunch of sightings. And he's quoted as saying, here's what he said. I thought there was something wrong with my eyesight, but it was most definitely a bird and not a glider or a jet plane. It appeared to be flying northeast, and from the movements of the object and its size, I figured it had to be a bird of tremendous size. That was it.
A B-O-I-S, a boys, a bird of, oh wait, where did I get the I? A bois, a bird of unusual size.
Yeah, he just saw a big bird.
That's a cool sighting. It's like, I saw a bird that was, it was just a big old, it was, I mean,
yeah,
it was kind of far away.
I saw a really big bird. I'll tell you what, it wasn't a plane, it was a bird, and it was big. And they're like, well, what was it doing? Northeast.
Yeah, it was flying.
Yeah, I guess it was flying. Yeah, he doesn't even say like it was like 100 feet or like 30 feet across. Or
another
something.
Thing that's kind of funny about that sighting is it's sort of like notoriously difficult to gauge distance on something that's in the sky because there's nothing to compare it to. Because it's and so just being like a bird and seeing that it's like, you know, not flapping its wings very much because it's so big, you know, and just being like, that must be. Yeah. At least really big.
It's also funny to make no estimate at all on the size of it. Like, say, like, I saw a really big bird and then being, like, trying to like, hedge it and being, like, but it wasn't a plane. And it's like, nobody, if you say, I saw a big bird, no one's going to be like, are you sure it wasn't a plane?
Yeah, the people would be saying, are you sure?
Say, like, it was the size of a plane or something.
If someone saw a really big bird, I wouldn't go, are you sure it wasn't a plane? My you know, skepticism would come in the form of, are you sure it wasn't a regular bird?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, somebody would be like, a pretty big bird.
You saw a really big bird. Are you sure you didn't see a glider, pal?
Yeah, are you sure you didn't
I didn't know what a glider, what do you mean by a glider?
Well, cool. That's one sighting.
Yeah. And then this is the other one that I read a few different, it was on all the websites. This is, I think, like the Keystone one, and it's also just as unimpressive, especially in terms of being like, this is a Thunderbird, or even anything supernatural at all. But this one is from 1977, also in Illinois, Lawndale, Illinois, July 25th. A kid, 10-year-old kid named Marlon Lowe, he was playing outside. And guess what time it was?
Midnight?
It was 8 p.m., around 8 or 8:10 p.m. Oh, so probably was getting a little dark.
Okay.
So maybe a little scary to be out playing in the backyard. But his mother, Ruth, heard him scream while she was in the kitchen. She ran outside to see what was going on, and he was being attacked by two giant birds. Ruth said their wingspan was about 9 to 10 feet. And it was picking up, they were picking him up and flying away, and she kind of chased after it and was attacking the bird, and then it dropped Marlin after about carrying him about 35 feet. And he was fine.
I believe that happened.
Yeah.
And I also think that those were just big birds.
Yeah, no, 100%. This is her description of the... This is her a quote of her description of what the birds looked like. It had a white ring around its half-foot-long neck. The rest of the body was very black. The bird's bill was 6 inches in length and hooked at the end. The claws on the feet were arranged with 3 front, 1 in the back. Each wing, less the body, was 4 feet at the very least. The entire length of the bird's body, from beak to tail feather, was approximately 4.5 feet. So it's not even like giant. Like, there's birds that are that big that exist.
Did you
maybe
mention
not in Illinois?
Did it have a neck tuft?
Yeah. So it was basically a vulture.
Yeah.
It had a white ring around its half-foot-long neck. Like, that's what everyone was like. All the cryptozoologists were like, this is a Thunderbird sighting. And everyone else said, this is probably big vultures.
Yeah. Also, vultures can just get pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like, this is 100% unimpressive when it comes to cryptid sightings.
That'd be like that's insane that even made it into, like, the list of... Like, because I heard about that sighting, too. And it's wild that is... a Keystone sighting, because that's just like like you're at a primate exhibit and you're pretty sure that you saw Bigfoot in the gorilla enclosure.
Yeah,
it's like I mean, it's just kind of like,
no, it's so lame. Yeah, I mean, I think those two encounters being like the main ones, at least that I saw, really shows you how stupid an idea it is that the Thunderbird is some kind of cryptid that is flying around and doing stuff.
Yeah.
In our material world. Yeah, it's just like, it's... And then, or do you have a... Did you write down any other sighting stuff? Are there any specific sightings you wanted to do?
There was one guy who said he took a picture of it, and then he lost the picture. And that was also in the 50s.
There's also that classic, like, hoax picture of the person standing in front of, like, a, quote, Thunderbird corpse.
Yeah. There's also a couple farmers who... this is not even really related. There's a couple farmers who said that they killed, like, an 80-foot-long bird that had, like, crocodile features with wings. Like, they basically just described a dragon. And, but then, like, they lost the corpse somehow. I don't remember how that one went. But the reason I don't remember it is because I didn't write it down because it seemed stupid.
Yeah. There's a lot of I think the Thunderbird also has maybe some of the best fake photos of all time. It has one of the best hoax cryptid photos. It's so fucking funny. I'm sure you've seen it before. The Tombstone Thunderbird. I don't know if you've seen this, but you should Google it right now if you haven't. It's a picture that's purportedly from the 1800s, Tombstone, Arizona, and it's a bunch of 1800s guys standing and holding a giant pterodactyl. And it's like a really like clear photo. Like they didn't even try to make it look like blurry or anything. Like it's like so, it's really, really funny to me.
That I feel
there's
like,
just a bunch of Photoshops like that and stuff.
Also, in like, there's other depictions. Like I'm seeing people saying that like I'm seeing people do renditions of the Tombstone photo, but they just have edited the pterodactyl to look like a bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's cool. I like old pictures of like. There's some cool pictures where it's like, oh, we photoshopped this to look like it's Civil War people and they have a, you know, they found something fucked up. Like, I like that in general.
It's a cool looking photo.
But it's really funny too.
Oh, but I think the monster that I was describing earlier, just for people's reference, is called the Dragon of San Diego.
Okay. That's a good name.
Yeah.
That's what they'd call me if I lived in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Tombstone Thunderbird pterodactyl picture is a good good segue into the thing that annoys me most about Thunderbird as a cryptid is people who are like, a pterodactyl much? And it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, really, you think, like, people are so desperate for a dinosaur to still exist that they think that maybe that it's more likely that versus like, you know, someone saw a big vulture in the 70s. They're like, well, you know, it could be a pterodactyl.
So I think there is some pterodactyl credence in my head. Not that there is a pterodactyl flying around. Anyone who's saying that is being fucking stupid. But like, also another thing about that is like, if a pterodactyl is flying around, it's not the same thing as like the Loch Ness where it has a big lake to hide in, or a Sasquatch where it has a big forest to hide in. If a, you know, 15 foot wingspan thing was just flying around, people like it's in line of sight from anywhere. But the thing I will say about pterodactyls is that fossils of pterodactyls do exist, and I could imagine people who, you know, before the conception of dinosaurs were around, you know, they'd seen bird bones, and then they find a pterodactyl fossil and they're like, well, this pretty much looks like bird bones but really big. And like, if you don't understand the idea that maybe bones could be inconceivably old, like you could surmise that thing is like, there are others of that thing still around.
Definitely.
Another thing I learned just while looking into pterodactyl bones, though, is that pterodactyl fossils are actually like pretty rare, like compared to other dinosaurs, because they flew, so they had just like birds, they had lighter density bones. So they degraded at a faster, like their bones are just, their remains are more delicate.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think it's not inconceivable that, you know, a Native American saw a pterodactyl or pterosaur fossil and thought, oh, maybe this is like, maybe this is a creature that's flying around. But I feel like it's like a, I don't know, I feel like, to me, it feels a lot more like an attempt to like tie something up in a neat bow and explain something that doesn't, like, I think it's also just as, and if not more likely, that someone saw a big bird or imagined a big bird and said, this is our Thunderbird. You know what I mean? I saw a big bird flying around during a storm, or saw a bolt of lightning come down as they saw a bird fly by. And I don't think
that Thunderbirds are supposed to bring on storms? I don't know if we actually straight up said that, but that's a huge part of their thing.
Yeah, I think we didn't really say that. Okay. I think we said they shoot lightning bolts at underworld monsters.
They're supposed to like, they represent like the coming of storms.
Yeah. No, it just feels a lot to me like the pterosaur thing feels a lot to me where, that it's like, oh, we're gonna come in and we're gonna figure it out. We got your myths, and we're gonna figure them all out. We're gonna scientify them. I don't know. It just it's very Reddit. I think that's a good way to put it. It's just like there doesn't need to be some kind of real actual physical item that explain. You know what I mean?
Well, especially if it's like it's very like. Much so, it seems like a spiritual thing more than a physical, like as a folklore entity.
Yeah,
it is more a spiritual presence and like a deity than it is like a belief in a giant bird existing. It's mm-hmm. like this is the representation of storm and nature, and that you can feel like that has a presence in and of itself. It doesn't. Like, you don't need to find it as a pterodactyl. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it just is. It's a thing. It's fine. It's a spiritual idea. And it doesn't have to be a dinosaur. But you can still think dinosaurs are cool and think there are dinosaurs flying around. But it's just, that's the number one annoying thing about, that makes, that is about, quote again, quote cryptozoology, is that they always are just trying to staple shit together.
I feel like
yeah,
Native American stuff has a tendency to like really get mysticized to this level where people like will try to, you know, quote unquote, get to the bottom of it to an extent that I mm-hmm. think is rude. Where it's kind of like, I don't know, if a bunch of pasty guys from like Wyoming, like, you know, took a trip to Indochina and tried to find the skeleton of Ganesh, like it's like, you
yeah,
know,
it, yeah, exactly. No, it, that's exactly what it is. It's like, yeah, it doesn't. Beliefs are beliefs.
Yeah,
so
knock it off.
Yeah, and not even in a like. I mean, obviously, you should respect people's cultures, but I don't even mean that. Like they're just literally. It just doesn't make sense for you to think that there has to be something that explains a belief. Like
yeah.
That's just not how it works.
Well, and also the initial belief is that this thing is godlike. It's not going to just like.
Yeah.
You're not going to find its skeleton.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would like to see a pterosaur skeleton though.
I would, or a pterotorn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool.
I would like to fly on a pterotorn.
Yeah. I think I would honestly weigh a pterotorn down too much, because they're big, but I'm 250 pounds, and that was actually a question that I didn't look up. But can birds of prey? The answer has to be no in my head. But can birds of prey lift things that are heavier than they are?
Yes,
they can.
Well, here's I'll just say it. So there was a, I was reading about this other extinct bird called Hast's eagle that lived in New Zealand that was alive at the same time as people, and it was like it's like commonly accepted that it's there's some like legendary bird in Maori legend or myth or whatever, and that a lot of people are like, oh, it was actually this bird, which is now extinct. And they're really big. They didn't have that big of, like, they had short wings, but they were estimated to weigh about 33 pounds, which is pretty big for a bird. And they hunted moas, which are big flightless birds. And moas, it said that the largest of which moas could weigh up to 510 pounds.
Holy shit.
So I don't know if that means, I doubt that the bird is picking up the 510 pound moas, but I would imagine that most moas weigh more than 33 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's what that was hunting. So that's my, like, I'm okay. Not actually sure, but based on something, a Wikipedia article I read earlier today.
So based
that's
on
my guess.
An article that has a really cool name from A-to-Z-Animals.com, the 10 uh-huh. strongest birds on earth and how much they can lift is the name of the article, which is awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Number one is the harpy eagle. And I don't know if you guys know what harpy eagles look like, but they're the really cool eagles that have like kind of like a little bit of like plumage sort of. Mm-hmm. And they can lift 40 pounds, and they weigh less than 40 pounds. And also, what they're lifting that's over 30 pounds is sloths and monkeys.
I was on their Wikipedia page, and I'm looking at a picture of a harpy eagle flying, and it's holding a little capuchin monkey, and the capuchin monkey is just like, just looks like he's like, oh, well, whatever.
It's over for him. It's over.
Look at this picture. I've just sent it to you in the Discord channel. I had to zoom in to even tell it was a monkey.
Oh, no.
But he's just like, oh, man.
Dude, that poor guy. He's toast.
Yeah, he's done for.
Oh, my God. I'm going to save this picture.
Yeah, he's just like, he looks really, really sad. Like he does.
Oh my God.
Man.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we were talking earlier about fear of being eaten by birds, and maybe, you know, in our, and it's lost. I'm sure that relatives of humans have been eaten by them because,
yeah,
you know, we had ancestral little baby primates that were probably swooped up. I keep looking at this picture, man. I can't stop laughing. It's so sad.
Yeah, it really just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Also, capuchin monkeys are so cute.
Yeah, they're the cutest.
I feel like ever since we've been modern humans, birds have just not been an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way too, backed by no evidence at all, which is how I will continue to feel about everything we ever talk about on this podcast.
Oh, bald eagles have the strength to lift small deer.
Whoa. How small, though? Are you talking like a 1 pound deer?
Well, yeah. They have the strength to lift small deer and calves up to 8 pounds.
Okay.
But they can also injure animals much larger themselves, such as bear and elk.
Whoa. I would love to see... Well, yeah. I'd love to see a bald eagle injure a bear.
I don't know how they would do that. Bears have...
I mean, they fly down, claw its eyes, and fly away.
They'd need to get in the face, because I feel like the rest of the bear has too much thickness to really, like, be able to sink in.
Yeah, that's a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I have about Thunderbirds, unless you have anything else, is two little fun, I think, possible... Well, one of them's definite, one of them's possible. Pop culture descendants of the Thunderbird. The one that I'm not sure about, that this could just be Big A Bird, but the eagles from Lord of the Rings, I feel like those are big eagles. And
totally.
That's kind of Thunderbirdy. But then the definite one is Zapdos from Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Zapdos
is a giant electrical bird who is, yeah, I would say almost 1,000% based on the Thunderbird.
Also, now that you say it, I think that the eagles from Lord of the Rings totally have Thunderbirdy roots because they're not just big eagles. They're also like big...
They're, like, intelligent.
Yeah, they're intelligent and kind of, like, you know, Gandalf respects them and, like, you know, they're...
Yeah. Which I don't know enough about deep Lord of the Rings lore to actually know what the eagles are really like, so I could be wrong, but they are big, big eagles, which feels like it makes sense
to
me.
Well, there was a passage in... not only are they big eagles, but they also hate orcs and goblins. Like, actively, which is kind of like how Thunderbirds hate the underworld spirits.
Uh-huh.
And there's another passage... there's a passage in The Hobbit where they're describing, like, what the eagles are like, and it's that they're, like, not necessarily a nice people, but a regal and just people, which is... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if that's anything, but yeah, big birds, Thunderbirds, we like it. I don't think I have anything else to say.
Et cetera. No, yeah, I think I'm done.
I'm fucking toast like that capuchin.
What rating are we going to give the Thunderbirds here?
Well, I'm not going to rate the cryptid Thunderbird. I'm going to rate the folklore Thunderbird.
Yeah, I think I agree there. I think the cryptid Thunderbird might as well not exist.
Yeah.
I don't mean not exist in the sense of like not real, like a cryptid, but I mean like that it has no qualities.
I think
it's
lost in translation. I think,
yeah,
I'm gonna give the concept of the Thunderbird an 8 out of 10. Thunderous cries.
I think I will give it 8. Also give it 8 whales being hoisted out of the ocean out of 10.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking solid.
Yeah, it just is such a... It's really, really simple, but it really captures a... in like innately human, spiritual, animal relationship.
Yeah.
And our relationship to the world. In a way that you can kind of just intuitively understand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, their cries are supposed to be like thunder, like thunder.
Yeah.
And that comes from the sky too.
So swaggy.
Yeah,
so
super cool. Swag. I like it. Should we roll the damn fucking
yeah,
damn
let's,
shit.
Let's do it.
Freaky wheel.
Let's see what it will be today.
Give me the wheel. Give me the wheel.
All right, I'm going to spin the wheel to find out what our next episode shall be, and now I'm spinning it. Reptile
from Mortal Kombat. Okay.
Cool.
I like that. And then as a closing note, something I thought I should say, everyone, mm-hmm. please tell your friends about Monster Crazy. That's the best way to tell your friends about it.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
You're so smart sometimes.
Thank you. And then also, you know, give us a little rating on a thingy. Give us a little rating. Join the Discord. All that. You'll have fun. Oh, wait. Also, I wanted to shout out someone. Someone in our Discord channel, I think their name was something billionaire. Let me see. I'm going to find it before I shout them out because I need to know their name. Social Credit Billionaire said that they saw a Thunderbird in central Indiana when they were a kid. They said that maybe it was a statue or they were half asleep or something, but they saw what looked like a turkey vulture on top of a small shed. The bird was the same height as the shed. So
wow.
Something to think about, you know, for everyone out there. Consider that.
All right.
See you guys next time where we talk about Reptile from Mortal Kombat.
Sounds good. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
And there's a high-flying bird way up in the sky. And I wonder, does he look down as he flies on by? Oh, he's riding on the air so easy in the sky. But Lord, look at me here.